This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com. How's it going, everybody? Gary and Chris back with you here Wednesday, January the 21st, 2015. Believe, Chris, this is episode number 23. How you doing, man?
Wow. Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, man. I'm doing really good. Yeah, 23 episodes already. Wow. That's quite a nice milestone.
It is.
Well, actually, 25 or 30 is probably the better milestone, but I figure, well, 23, yeah.
Hey, we're just being optimistic here, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, you had WrestleMania 23, Shawn Michaels, John Cena.
Yeah.
Undertaker and Batista. Bobby Lashley and Umaga.
Yeah, that was Ford Field.
Yeah, with, and you had the, Bobby Lashley, Umaga with Donald Trump. The hair versus hair match, the Battle of the Billionaires.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and, Donald Trump. Who could forget Donald Trump with his mispronouncing Bobby's name? I think he called him Bobby Lindsay at one point.
And that's not surprising.
There was one point at the show I was at live, he forgot his last name. He's just like, "They love you, Bobby." It's just really awkward. Anyway, so episode number 23. Real quick before we get started, WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon. Chris, you shop at Amazon. I shop at Amazon. Yes. Sally, down the street listening to our show, shops at Amazon. Everybody shops there. But normally when you go, you just go to Amazon.com, right? You type it in, you start shopping. Well, we're here to tell you that if you go to WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon, it takes you to the exact same place, which is the front page of Amazon. But Amazon kicks us back a couple pennies, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can go and shop for your, whatever you want. Blu-ray players, Xboxes, everything. Movies, and all Amazon does is they said, hey, those Wrestling Informant guys, those are some nice guys. They sent over, some customers our way, so we're going to throw them a few pennies. So there you go. You go to WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon. You get your shopping done that you were going to do anyway, and then you also help us at the exact same time. So we would definitely appreciate it if you guys check that out. So, Chris, I guess we'll lead off with WrestleMania 32. This is kind of the newest of the news.
It is.
Coming out today, or yesterday rather, the press conference held at AT&T Stadium. Now, this story actually broke in the middle of the night, early Tuesday morning. I remember seeing the first tweet. Now, first of all, I should say, because there's people listening, they're like, "What are you talking about? We've known about this for 2 or 3 years now. They wanted to go to that." Well, this is now official. I'm talking about when WWE officially said, "We are going here."
Right. No. Those were rumors and speculation and guessing. But
yeah.
Now it's a done deal. WWE has made it official.
They did. They sent out the first tweet, I want to say around 1 or 2 in the morning on early Tuesday morning, announcing, hey, right from their WrestleMania account on Twitter, we're coming to AT&T Stadium on April the 3rd, 2016, WrestleMania 32, it's happening. And they are saying, they can fit 105,000 people in this stadium. And I'm just wondering, Chris, is that something that's really going to happen? Do you think that that's really going to happen?
I think obviously they'll get higher attendance than all their other pay-per-views, obviously. But getting over 100,000 people for this product, man, that's a stretch. That's a bit of a reach.
One of the biggest problems they're going to face, Chris, is the current product. People complain about, WrestleMania bringing back nostalgia acts and all this stuff. How do you think they're going to fill this building, next year if they don't, make some fine-tuned adjustments to the product now and get people ready for next year, Chris? How else are they going to do it?
There is no other way. And people are there's so much disdain for this product that they're actually watching alternatives.
That is correct.
Alternative products and the viewership. It's going to start dropping like drastically if they don't fix what's going on, because it's still the premier brand. It's still the premier company. And they're not the only company. They're just the top company that has the most money, advertising, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, they got some work to do if they want to fill that stadium.
Yeah. I mean, they'll go to you right now and say, "Well, gee, look at our ratings. Like, they just went over 4 million viewers for Raw this week." And we'll give you, you know, breakdown on that soon. But it was one of those things where they'll say, well, you know, look, the ratings went up. What are you talking about? They're going to go down. Well, of course they're going to go up in WrestleMania season, because this is the time that people are trained to tune in, because they know that everything that's on now counts. You know, everything from the end of SummerSlam till January, for the most part, with the exception of, I know Survivor Series, they hotshot at a lot of things, but traditionally, they don't put a lot of effort into the last part of the year, and everybody kind of just gets sick of the stuff, and they stop watching, or they stop wanting to watch. A lot of people do, and then they say, well, you know, hey, we're going to come back in January, because that's when, you know, creative Vince McMahon starts getting excited again, and that's when they start putting their best foot forward. I think there's a way to do that year round, but also onto this whole nostalgia act thing. I mean, they're clearly going to need that to pack this stadium. I'm not saying, you know, right now, if they took, you know, a few guys from NXT and some of the guys on their roster, and they actually put some real, you know, juice behind them, I'm not saying it's going to instantly fix it. You're still going to have some nostalgia acts, but as it stands right now, I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys really that can pack this thing in a major way. They're going to have to resort to nostalgia acts. I mean, Steve Austin comes to mind. A lot of people ask him all the time, when are you coming back? Are you ever coming back? And he has said in a couple of interviews that if there was going to be a place, if he were to consider it, Dallas would be the place. So there you go. You've got a Steve Austin match, potentially. You know, do you play the Undertaker card? I mean, my God, he looked so rough last year. I can't even imagine him working this year, but of course people are asking about it. They want to see him, but I don't know. I mean, to me, I almost say I don't ever want to see him wrestle again. That's my stance on
no
that.
No way.
And look, no way. A lot of people are going to hear that and get pissed off. They're going to say, what are you talking about? How could you not want to see The Undertaker ever again? Watch WrestleMania 30 again and tell me that you want to see him wrestling more matches. He's not getting any younger, folks.
No, I would like to. I like seeing The Undertaker, just not wrestling. Not anymore. It's 2015. He you can't beat the clock. I mean,
yeah, he needs to.
You just can't. So if it's a non-wrestling capacity, yeah.
But even there is very little you can do with that.
Right. I mean, because his character is so limited. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see, just based on what I saw at WrestleMania 30 and even WrestleMania 29. I don't know.
If he were to take off this year, let's say he determined, okay, I can get my body through one more match. I don't blow that at this year's WrestleMania. I wait for next year in Dallas.
Right.
Potentially.
Because that'd give him a full calendar year and then some. Give him probably 15 months to get his body right, get back into it, and do what he can for 32.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I would not want to see Steve Austin and The Undertaker. Not at WrestleMania.
I would rather see Steve Austin than The Undertaker at this point. I will say that.
Yeah, I would rather see him over Undertaker, but I don't want to see them both.
But
I don't want any people clamoring for a Steve Austin Undertaker match. No.
But to pack this building, Chris, you're going to need Steve Austin, you're going to need Undertaker, you're going to need The Rock, you're going to need Batista, because by that time, you know, he's about to do the Bond movie. He's going to be even bigger by then. So you're going to need him. You're going to need Hulk Hogan. You're going to need probably Sting if you can get him. I mean, you're going to really need to stack the show with nostalgia acts, and I'm basing this opinion solely on how they treat their current guys now. Okay. Yeah. You know, Daniel Bryan, he's great. Roman Reigns are going to try to build him even more, but you know, reserve judgment on that how you will.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
John Cena, of course.
I was going to say, how old is John Cena?
God, what is he? I mean, he's got to be near 40, isn't he?
Right. So you figure add another year.
I'll check his age. Hang tight. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I was going to say, because I mean, we're looking at John Cena now. He's what, 37?
He's 37. Yeah.
37. So he's getting closer to 40. So, I mean, he's going to be 38 this year. He's going to be 39 next year. 40. He's getting up there. He's not getting any younger either.
He ain't going to be quitting anytime soon.
He's not going to be quitting because the shape these guys are in. But still, I mean, age is going to catch up to these guys. It always does.
No, no kidding. I mean, but, you know, who do they have right now that they can build up in a credible way to make a good match that's going to sell, you know, big box office numbers for next year?
I can't think of anybody other than who we've mentioned.
I mean, you look at let's just take WrestleMania 17, for instance. It was in Houston.
Yeah.
You had Austin and Rock, who were the top stars at that time. So technically, nostalgia was not an issue then.
No.
But that was already their second match. That was their second WrestleMania match.
Right. And they were both top guys. You had a great problem to have. You have two top guys.
Right. They had already had...
Right. Their status is right at the top. They're 1-1. Not even 1-2. They're 1-1.
Yeah. I mean, they had one previous WrestleMania main event at 15. Austin had his big main event thing at WrestleMania 14, winning the title, where Rock was the IC title, but he was, you know, climbing very fast to 98.
Yeah.
So you had two guys that were on fire. I don't think you have a whole lot of guys on fire. I mean, they have Daniel Bryan, who is clearly on fire, but I don't know how much they actually really want to push him. You have Roman Reigns, who they want to be on fire, but they're not giving him the right material. They're not producing him right to make a real impact, although this Monday was maybe a step in the right direction. We'll see. So they've got a lot of work to do, man. They've got to get their hands dirty, get down in there, and make something happen for next year. Otherwise, you're going to be doling out millions of dollars to get these nostalgia acts back for another year. That's what you're going to have to do. Bottom line.
Period. Right. And if you remember, WrestleMania 17, that was almost, 68,000, almost 70,000 in Houston?
Yeah, the Astrodome. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was the Astrodome. Yeah, that was 2001, trying to get packed it with 70,000 people. Fast forward 14 years later, you're not getting 100,000 people.
I mean, we're in a different time now. You know, WrestleMania, people expect it in the stadium in a sense. The event itself kind of sells itself, but that's only so much. I mean, I'd say, 45,000-50,000 people probably buy the tickets based on a WrestleMania name alone.
Yeah.
But you're going to need to double that to get this stadium filled how they want to fill it. But then also, you're talking about 105,000 people. I don't even know how that's really possible, because once you get their big ass stage in there, you're talking about some mega monster stage.
Oh, yeah. They all this crazy construction.
They'll probably say it's over 100,000, but it probably won't be. It'll probably be like WrestleMania 3, where they say it's 93 and it's really more like 80.
Right. They'll fudge the numbers a little bit. And then you got that giant screen.
Oh, yeah.
That they got up top. That was 100 foot wide. Yeah, you got to work around that.
They got a lot of work to do.
Let's take it back a year. So this year, WrestleMania 31, what's the capacity of Levi Stadium?
I want to say about 60, maybe. Let me double check that.
That sounds about right. That's doable. They're going to fill that stadium.
Yeah, 68.5. Oh, it's expandable to 75.
That's more realistic number for WrestleMania.
Sure, yeah.
For your biggest event of the year, that's going to be packed. They're going to fill that up.
But
yeah, that's not a concern. It says 100,000.
That's a lot of concern. People.
That is a lot of people.
I don't know how they're going to do it, man.
I don't know. If they do it, hats off to them. I hope they do. I hope they can find a way to get that many people into that stadium.
Oh, of course. I mean, I want them to do big business. I just don't know how real 100,000 is. And even if, though, man, I mean, they're going to fudge the number for sure.
Yeah.
At most, they may get 85 on the real in there and then just say, yeah, we got 100. We got 105. Because they want to break that indoor attendance record of WrestleMania 3, no doubt.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough one to break, though.
Yeah,
whether they fudge the numbers or not, that's gonna be tough to beat.
So, but you, if you you know, let's say you get a Steve Austin in there, now he ain't gonna Austin. From what I've heard in all the interviews I've heard him do, is that he ain't even considering getting back in the ring unless it's with the right guy.
Right.
Now, who's he going to make the money with? John Cena? Maybe he doesn't want to work with John Cena. Maybe he wants to work with somebody younger. But who the hell is that?
Oh, gosh.
Who are you going to get ready in time for Stone Cold Steve Austin? Daniel Bryan, I don't think, is the right fit.
No. Oh, for a while, he was jaw-jacking with Sheamus a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's Rusev.
Eh.
I don't know.
I just don't think they're going to sell tickets like that.
No. I don't know. We're 2 years away from that, so
now
it could change.
WrestleMania in 5 years, if they keep him down the track he's on, Kevin Owens is a guy 5 years from now could probably sell out a WrestleMania.
Oh, I say Kevin Owens, Finn Balor.
Yeah, I'm thinking more developmental here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, those guys. Finn Balor, Kevin Owens.
But you know damn well they're not going to have those guys anywhere near this kind of event by next year. There's just no way.
No.
Even though I really believe, and this is not just some indie-rific, marking out, loving Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens kind of deal, but I got to tell you, man, I think that if he was positioned right, and I said this before, like I thought he could take on Brock Lesnar. This guy could take on the world, man, if he's positioned right.
Yeah.
But there's no way in hell they're going to put him anywhere near anything like this. He's not going to main event WrestleMania 32.
No way. I mean, we're thinking he could be a thorn in John Cena's side.
Oh my God, of course.
Oh man. He would just torment the hell out of John Cena and everybody would love it.
Yeah. So I mean,
talk about break the internet. That I think that would break the internet.
I mean, if you are Vince McMahon, Triple H, whomever, and my God, you look at these pictures of Vince McMahon at the press conference. Man, he looks rough.
Yeah.
I say no disrespect, but man, he looks old. He looks rough.
No, even at Survivor Series, I was like, whew.
Yeah.
And even my wife looked at it. She's like, that's Vince McMahon. I was like, yeah. She's like, wow.
But if you're Vince, if you're Triple H, if you're Stephanie, and Austin says, look, for the right opponent, I'll come back. I mean, who the hell are you going to put in that spot? That's the question.
Right.
Because you need, I think you really need to play that Austin card for this show to push it over the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the star he was, you got to play that card. I think that's essential. You don't have him on this show, you may not do 100,000.
Right, and he is his own brand. He is a name. You know, he's got his name, credibility, a product, a brand.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I wanted to get back to, we were talking about Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. There was a picture, it was funny, there was a picture going around the internet.
Uh-huh.
Finn Balor actually tweeted it from his account. And it was him holding the WWE Championship like he had just won it. And I think exploded. Yeah.
I bet it did, man. Gee, where can I find that? You have to tweet that to me.
Yeah, it was on, I'll have to send that to you. It was on a... I'll find it and retweet it and put your name in it so you can see it. But yeah, there's a black and white picture with Finn Balor looking like he just won a match and he's holding up the championship like he just won the match and it just blew up from there.
Oh man,
I mean this is a guy that sold out the Tokyo Dome a few times, and that's like 40,000 people.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well let's get into we'll do our Royal Rumble predictions, but I want to do those after we talk a little bit about Raw.
Yeah, we'll do that later.
So Raw is back up over 4 million. Last week, the average viewership was 3.905 million. This week, the average 4.100 million. So, you know, up a little bit. The first hour, 4.292 million. Hour number two, 4.135. And the final third hour, 3.874 million viewers. So it dropped in that third hour. And that was a segment that, man, I don't think people wanted to miss that one. I mean, that was the segment to watch, and it was the lowest rated. So, you know, they're going to have to, people are going to have to start tuning in. They're going to start giving some compelling reasons to stay tuned in. And perhaps after the Royal Rumble, there'll be a story enough to tell that'll keep people tuned in all 3 hours. But 3 hours is a lot to ask. I mean, we said that before, but.
Oh, yeah. No, it's insane.
So the average is over 4 million once again. And. Sting's on this show, Chris, out of nowhere. Sting.
Yeah.
The vigilante Sting, as they call him.
Yep, making his first appearance on Raw ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. And that's 20 years of Raw?
Yeah. 20. Well, actually, no, now 22 years.
22, yeah. For 22 years, first time ever on Raw.
And he shows up on the screen. He's just staring there. And JBL's like, that's a picture of Sting. And then he shows up on the stage, Triple H starts yelling, and then he's just gone. He disappears, and then out comes Lesnar. Cena's celebrating because he had just won the job back of those three guys, Ziggler, Ryback, and Eric Rowan.
Yep.
Who we're going to be seeing very, very soon on SmackDown, in fact. And that's not a spoiler because Michael Cole announced that on the interview today with Triple H. So that is not a spoiler. It would be a spoiler if I told you what they did on that show. So I'm not going to do that. But
No spoilers here. You'll be able to watch it Thursday night.
Yeah, what's one more night?
Right, exactly.
By the way, I loved Triple H's interview with Michael Cole today. He had said something to the effect of, I don't know if he was talking about Sting or John Cena or something to that effect of, you know, they always need help to beat somebody. They can never do it on their own. And I'm like, you okay. gotta love when the heel lies, because clearly, you know, they're always one to, you know, have their buddies helping out and cheating right. and all that stuff. I love the irony in that.
Right. And that's a typical heel, because every time you see a heel doing that, and like when Seth Rollins says, I beat John Cena all by myself.
Yeah.
And when he didn't get there, I was laughing. I was like, man, that's brilliant. Finally, a heel being a heel with the cheating tactics. Because I know even Steve Austin has said before, it's like, man, where are these heels? Cheating.
Yeah.
Just doing, you're doing all these dastardly underhanded tactics to win the match, not cleanly. And we're seeing it. Finally.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Seth Rollins. It's been said before. I'll say it again. I'll say it every damn week, because he's so awesome. He's not out there trying to be cool guy heel, you know, getting cool heel heat and cheers and all this stuff. People are out there, you know, booing the man, and they should. He's doing his job right. That's called being an effective heel.
Exactly. You got guys like him and Rusev where the crowd just hates your guts.
Yeah, those guys both are money all day long.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely earning their paycheck, that's for sure. And I love it. Absolutely love it.
People want to know about Seth Rollins in the Royal Rumble. I can see it in the listener questions we've gotten. It's on the minds of a lot of people, and we're gonna definitely touch on that as we go, you know, further along. So Sting shows up on Raw. Brock Lesnar. Chris, is he turning babyface on us, Chris? Is this really happening? Is this just kind of like a little, you know, little swerve or what?
I don't know. I think it's a swerve. I don't see him turning an actual babyface turn, but maybe it's because people hate the Seth Rollins character so much that when somebody does go after Seth Rollins, they're great.
I mean, my God, he's jumping on the mic. He said baby every other word. I thought that was just a red herring that, hey, I'm turning babyface.
But how cool, how awesome was that backstage segment with Lesnar and Rollins?
Oh, man, it's great.
Where Seth Rollins is like, he's like talking, like all joking around with J&J security. And all of a sudden, here comes Lesnar. He's like straight face. And then he leaves and he's like, whew. Like he's really, he's like scared to death. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It was some good television. You know, anytime you get Lesnar on there, anytime you can get Rollins on there, and if you get the two together, it's good television. Then you got the whole thing with Rollins and Heyman from SmackDown last Thursday.
Yeah.
The whole promo deal there, and Heyman kind of really, you know, saying, hey, look, you know, if I want Lesnar to, you know, protect the future champion, it could be you and all this kind of stuff, and Rollins, you know, was asking him, why shouldn't I curb stomp you right now? And like, he's getting really close to Heyman, like really all up in his personal space.
Yeah.
It was,
and then, yeah, and they had that creepy verbal exchange, right. And they had that verbal exchange at the, when they had their contract signings, like I wasn't finished. Just really, really going nasty at each other.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they got going on with these two, but I can tell you that there's either just a crazy swerve and we were crazy to think it all along, or there really is something going on here that I can't quite put my finger on, but
we can
elaborate a little bit more, I guess, in our Royal Rumble predictions, perhaps, because a lot of people are wondering if that is this thing they're doing going to play a role in the match finish, obviously, is what people are wondering. So how about John Cena on the show here? He thinks that the Authority are ash holes. How about that one?
Oh yeah, that's right, there's that third wheel guy, because for me because I remember it was the Cena Lesnar show for the Rumble, but now I think I'd rather have the Seth Rollins Brock Lesnar show at the Rumble, and then you got Cena as the third wheel.
Yeah, that's a good point. He does kind of seem like almost like a third wheel here, because they're definitely playing up more of this Heyman Rollins Lesnar thing,
and it's working. It's actually working. It's gaining momentum. They're getting steam. They're building momentum to the Rumble match.
Yeah, so to me, that's interesting, though, that they're not really, you know, I mean, John Cena's in it, obviously. He was in the opening segment. He's in the close of the show. But I'm not quite sure.
But it's almost like a side story with the Authority. Like, not necessarily with the title. He's like, yeah, I'm going to beat you for the title, but there's more focus on this side story with him versus the Authority. And not him versus Lesnar and Rollins.
Yeah. Something strange there.
Right. Trying to get these guys their jobs back and the callback to Survivor Series. And yeah, it's like a whole weird side story that he's working on. I was like, yeah, I'm in the match, but I'm working on this other thing.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no continuity. Like, you have two separate storylines heading into one match. It's weird.
But you know what's the best part about that is that, you know, very few people now can figure out who's going to win this match.
No, that's true.
I mean, we've got predictions to give, but I can tell you right now, it's going to be very hard to do. That's the way I feel about it.
They're confusing the hell out of everybody with all these different angles that they're trying to do.
And I like it. Just like with the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah. Oh man.
I can't say with any bit of confidence, you know. I mean, I'm gonna give my pick, but my God, man, it's hard to figure it out. So
I've been trying to think, you know, who am I gonna pick? I've been thinking about it all day. It's like who in the heck am I gonna pick to win the Rumble?
Well, think about that for a second. Let's talk about Roman Reigns. They had this segment with. They did the same Legends panel, Hogan, Ric Flair, HBK. It's the exact same thing they did back in August.
The exact same thing they did in August.
The only difference was they were on stools instead of a Raw table in the middle of the ring. And I think they even came out in the exact same order. Hogan first, Ric Flair second, Shawn Michaels third.
Yep.
Seriously, I researched this. It's the exact same segment. Exact same segment. And then Big Show comes out, you know, and he's kind of, you know, talking trash to the Legends. You know, we could talk about what the Legends said, but there really wasn't anything bit of substance other than not one of them picked Roman Reigns to win the Royal Rumble.
Nope.
That's interesting. I think, what was it? Shawn Michaels said Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And it was Hulk Hogan who said, Daniel Bryan, brother.
Yeah, and Flair said Dean Ambrose.
Oh, that's right. Holy crap, that was out of nowhere.
That was out of nowhere. I'm like, whoa.
So you got those couple of guys there. And really, there wasn't a whole lot of substance. It was very kind of like short answers. And there wasn't a whole lot to what they were saying. Really,
no, I don't think it. No, there wasn't. There was not a lot of dialogue. Big Show came out and reminded people of who he used to be in WCW.
Yeah, and then Roman Reigns came out, and instead of talking about magic beans and beanstalks, he said absolutely no words. He got in Big Show's face and punched him and threw him over the top rope. And that was it.
It was effective.
It was very effective. And I liked how when he came out from the audience, he stopped by to check on Flair before he got in the ring. I thought that was a nice touch.
It was.
Showed some class, some character. Right, make sure the other guy's okay.
Right, showed a little compassion for the Legends, and then just go in and boom, take care of business.
He was all business, man.
Yep.
They should have treated him like Goldberg in the sense that he never talked. Remember Goldberg for the longest time? Yeah. He didn't talk.
Never talked and just mowed down everybody, and then had his own streak.
Once he started talking, man, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, the most he said. Well, you remember the most he said was "Who's next?" That was it.
Well, that is true. Yeah, he did say that.
But that was it. It was short. It was effective, and he just beat people up. That was it.
I think that's the role for Reigns, although we're not in that world now. We're in the world of, you know, 20-minute promos, like the opening segment, which was over 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it was 8:30 before the first match.
No kidding.
8:30.
That first match, by the way, Daniel Bryan losing his first match back on Raw since being out.
Right, and not clean. It was interference from Kane.
But we did get a pinfall. So I tweeted this earlier in the week. I said, I actually did not have a big problem with it because it was a pinfall and not just some DQ like, oh, Brian's distracted. And then he hits him and ring the bell. We actually got a pinfall. So, you know, I give it a slight bit of a pass. I don't like it. I don't, yeah. I think that, you know, you're putting Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt. I mean, give Daniel Bryan somebody he can just beat. Why does he need to fight Bray Wyatt? It's this thing of, you know, we got to get these, you know, two names together where, and they have terrible pairing to where they put it to where both guys really should not be losing, but they do it anyway. They do this all the time. So.
I know.
And then.
Mind boggling.
Yeah, it really is. So, and then they're setting up for a match tomorrow on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan versus Kane. If Bryan loses, he is out of the Royal Rumble. So. Keep that in mind. Now, obviously, of course, the result is already out there. Seek that out if you will. So,
I think they had the Royal Rumble drawing on the network. Was Santino hosting it?
No, it actually was not a drawing. It was some dumb, it was like the video they show every year by the numbers, but like a really longer version of that.
Oh, I thought it was the, oh God, I thought it was they're actually showing like the lottery. Like,
no, that's what everybody thought it was. And it ended up not being that. And a lot of people were like, what the hell is this crap?
They're not helping their, they're not helping their cause by doing this. You know, you're misleading your audience by doing that. I really thought they were going to have it. And that would have been perfect for the network.
Of course it would have been.
Yeah, right.
That would have been logical.
Right, because you want to know what position these guys coming out. You get your bigger names like your Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. You get these guys to draw their numbers and then figure out who gets one, and you get Mizdow in there. And
but they don't want to do all that. They do not want to do all that. How about...
God, it kills me.
How about the... What was it? Damian Mizdow...
As X-Dow.
Oh, that
was great. X-Dow. That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
And Sean Waltman loved it too, apparently.
Apparently he did. And what the hell was up with Shawn Michaels, the baby face, suggesting to Hunter that bring back these three guys and just mess with them when they get back here? I thought that was a little weird. Now, people have said, you know, Shawn has kind of been over the, you know, all over the map lately because... You know, last year, remember, or 2 years ago, remember what he did with Daniel Bryan? And I get all that, but traditionally, Shawn Michaels is a good guy.
Yeah.
Why would he, you know, want to encourage his friend to mess with three guys' careers? It seemed a little bit out of character, even for him.
Yeah, it was very much out of place.
I thought so. And then, of course, and I really don't know what they're trying to do here, but, you had the NWO come out, Hall and Nash.
Hall, Nash, and X-Pac.
X-Pac, that's right. Yes, X-Pac.
Because he wasn't, because if people that don't remember, he actually was in the NWO when he was six.
He was.
That was his name, SYXX. He was six, and he was in the NWO.
And I think when he went to the Indies, didn't he do like Six-Pac for a while or something like that?
Something like that. Some mashup of that. And then, of course, in WWE, when he came back, when he made his return. After 1-2-3 Kid was over, long gone.
Yeah.
Whenever they reformed DX, he was X-Pac.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you got the NWO, you got the APA, and the New Age Outlaws, and you got the Ascension. Now, Chris, in the NXT, the Ascension were, correct me if I'm wrong, Unstoppable, World Tag Team Champions, and they beat just about everybody, did they not?
Yeah, they had the longest tag team title reign in the history of NXT. It was over 330 days.
Okay.
It was almost a full calendar year where they were just mowing down everybody, and then they booked them to lose to the Lucha Dragons.
Okay.
And then, of course, booked them to, on their way out, to lose a couple of times to Finn Balor and Hideo Itami.
Okay, fair enough. So now they're on the main roster.
That was to get them to the main roster. Yeah.
Okay. Now they're on the main roster. Now they're what? Like a parody of some kind? They're like a joke? The other tag teams are wanting to beat them up because they're phonies and they scripted them to, you know, talk trash about the Road Warriors and Demolition and all this stuff. So that's quite the difference.
Because the attire that they had in NXT was more, I guess, more believable and actually more give them a little bit more credibility than putting shoulder pads, not, you know, I know they're not spikes, but putting shoulder pads and face paint on them.
Yeah.
You don't do that. Just stop it. Stop it already.
I tweeted a picture at PW Informant on Monday. Just go back. Just look at my media section and you can see it. They kind of looked like the guy from Weird Science, when Gary and Wyatt, they're throwing a party and Lisa thinks they need a challenge because they're just having too much fun and she wants them to stand up to bullies and all this stuff. So she brings in these like crazy looking motorcycle gang that like trashes the guy's house. And these guys, the Ascension kind of looked like these guys from the Weird Science movie. So, I thought it actually made sense.
The Devils and the Warriors gang.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's it was very interesting. But to see these guys just where they were in NXT, where they are now, it just seems so silly to me that they would put them in this predicament.
But then again, that's what they do. That's what they've done with all of these guys. And, well, not all. Not I shouldn't say all of them. That's not fair. But lately, with these guys, as they bring them up and guys and gals, and put them in these stupid storylines, stupid angles.
Yeah. And don't give me this crap about, oh, well, they're in the ring with all these legends, so they're going to get the rub. Don't even give me that. Go rub yourself. Stop it.
They got buried.
Yeah,
they're getting squashed. Because, I mean, look, you got Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. They're not going to put anybody over.
Yeah. It's not happening. It's not going to do anything for these guys. They'll be gone in 3 months, back to NXT or even off the damn company.
All right, listeners, go watch WCW and tell me I'm wrong. Go watch some old WCW and you'll see that they're not putting anybody over except themselves.
Well, even when they're not there, I mean, still, you got JBL burying these guys in commentary. It's just, I mean,
right.
I get it. That's how they're produced to do it. They're scripted to say these things. I get all that. I'm just saying, I just don't think it's the right idea, the right approach. That's all I'm saying. I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I think that is stupid. Okay, next.
Moving on.
Just a final quick thing. How refreshing was it that Raw did not run to like 10 or 15 after the hour? It ran to like 2 after the hour.
Oh, that was refreshing because I always set my DVR to go, because it gives you the option, because I got some new equipment at home, and they give you the option wherever you record Raw to say, all right, do you want to go 5 minutes over, 10 minutes over, 15 minutes over, 30 minutes over?
Right.
So I'm like, man, it'll probably go 15 over, so I give it an extra 15 minutes. But yeah, it didn't go that far.
I always have mine set to 30 by default because there was one time where they went damn near to 11:30. I couldn't even tell you the show if you had a gun to my head, but there was one week where they went damn near to the bottom of the hour. I just thought it was crazy. So
that's insane.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move right along here to our Royal Rumble prediction. Let's just get it right out there. By the way, just something very quick that has to do with the Rumble. People that are in Canada, if you are subscribed to, let me pull up the website here. If you're subscribed to Rogers or Eastlink in Canada, now you can watch on your computer. So before, Chris, to the best of my understanding, if you were in Canada, you had to order over your cable box. It was a channel that you watched through your cable company.
Yeah.
And it was on your DVR and they're on demand, kind of like HBO. It was very, very limited. It had just a fraction of what's on the real, you know, website. But now they have opened up the online portal, but it's only on PC or laptops. You can't, you know, for instance, grab an Xbox or a PlayStation 3 or 4 and access this because, to the best of my understanding, it has to do with the authentication because it uses your cable login. So, Chris, like, for instance, you're a DirecTV customer, so if you were in the situation that the Canadians were in, you would log in with a DirecTV login and not a WWE login, in other words, is what's happening here.
Oh, so, okay, yeah.
So if we were in Canada, we lived on Rogers, we'd have to, you know, like we would use to pay our bill or something, you'd have to use that login to go on the computer, but that login does not work on the apps for phones and tablets and you know, set-top box like PlayStation, Xboxes, because there's that cable level of authentication and the apps that the networks use connect to WWE's system and using WWE's logins, not a cable company login. So there is an issue of not being able to connect there with those devices. So
what a convoluted mess.
It is a convoluted mess. Geez. But luckily, I mean, just like with HBO Go, just like with any of these services, WWE, you know, can easily change their app to one, you know, use your cable login as a, and I know I'm getting really, really techy oriented here. This might be something for Hardcore Tech Show, your other podcast.
Yep.
There's a way that they can do it. Like if you notice like an HBO Go or Showtime Anytime, there's two ways you do it. Like in the app, you either log in through your cable company through the app so they can build the app to do that. Or number two, you can go on WWE's website, log in with your cable, get a code, type in that code on your TV box, on like your Xbox or whatever, and then it somehow syncs up and lets you right in. So there's a way that they can do it. They just haven't enabled that yet.
Right, like an activation type code.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I get it.
Now that we've talked tech for 20 minutes here.
hey, it pertains to WWE, so it's fine.
Yeah, we can get away with it. We normally don't do side talking. We don't do that, but this has something to do with it.
A little bit of a reprieve on that.
Yeah. So, okay, so if you're in Canada, there's another way to watch. That's the short version of what I was trying to say this entire time. Jesus Christ.
That's what we were getting to.
Yes. So we have the Royal Rumble is coming up here. We've got a series of matches. We got the Royal Rumble kickoff match. Let's start off with this. The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Big E. I always want to call him Big E Langston. I know it's just Big E now.
Yeah, it's Big. For me, it was Big E Langston.
Yeah. And they're going to take on Adam Rose, Tyson Kidd, and Cesaro in the kickoff. Chris, do you have a prediction for this match?
Oh, just based on this setup and this situation with Tyson Kidd and Cesaro and Adam Rose, I'm giving this one to the New Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on as television they've been winning.
Right. But as disappointed as I am to say it, I think they'll keep that up.
Well, I mean, the fact that they beat them, I think it's been the last 2 weeks. There is a possibility that the Rosebuds here may get a win. I'm actually gonna go with the Rosebuds. Why not?
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
You've got a little tag team match here, Paige and Natalya versus the Bella Twins. Do you care to take a guess at that?
Bella Twins.
Yeah, I agree. Bella Twins.
Yeah.
New Age Outlaw versus the Ascension. I mean, I guess it's pretty easy here. I'm assuming the New Age Outlaws just mow right through these guys, right?
Yeah, I don't know about mow through them. I think they'll maybe give the Ascension a little bit of a comeuppance. But yeah, I think the Outlaws will get the win here.
I hope so, man. I hope they let the Ascension. Maybe this whole thing has just been like a mirage, like a dream the last couple of weeks, and what they're really going to do is really going to just make them monstrous again. And perhaps...
Just really anger them and just New Age Outlaws just beat them. Maybe even real quick, just surprise them.
No, but I'm saying maybe the Ascension just destroys the New Age Outlaws.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm picking the Outlaws here.
All right, fair enough. Let's see here. The Usos defending the tag team titles against The Miz and Damian Sandow.
I'm going Usos.
Yeah, I think they're going to break up the Miz's here soon. What do you think?
Yeah, oh yeah. And hopefully that leads to a build up for the next couple of months at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, definitely. No doubt. All right, moving right along here. We're up to the title match. John Cena, Seth Rollins, going up against the world champion Brock Lesnar. It's a triple threat match here. And where do you think it's going?
Lesnar retains.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But I'm not going to... I just want to throw it out there. I think that... I don't think Rollins is going to win the title. I can almost say that with certainty. He's not going to win it, but I will say there is a small window of me that thinks that maybe John Cena might win it.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Do you think Seth Rollins cashes in if he doesn't win? Like something comes up where Lesnar wins, Cena knocks out Lesnar, Rollins cashes in and goes after Lesnar.
It's possible, but I don't think so.
I doubt it either. I think that's a reach, but it's an option that could be presented. But yeah, no, I think Lesnar walks away here and he's headed right into WrestleMania with that title. Even past the stupid pay-per-view they got next month.
I think they want people to think that maybe he's going to lose it. But in all actuality, I think he's going to retain it.
But there's a part of you
that makes you think, well, they're throwing in all these other things. I think it's just trying to distract people from what's really happening where Brock Lesnar's going to win.
It's a sleight of hand technique where you got a diversion over here. To take your attention away, but yeah, no, I think it's ultimately Lesnar. Lesnar walks away with his title.
Yeah, you're trying to distract people from what's in one hand. It's just like Gilbert Gottfried and Beverly Hills Cop 2. He's like, well, what if I had these poppy tickets over here, this nasty thing over here, and then I had, say,
$100
over here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking my arm now. So, yeah, I my official prediction is Brock Lesnar, but I'm just saying... And I know it sounds like I'm having it both ways here, but I think that if it's not Brock Lesnar, I think it's John Cena for sure, not Seth Rollins.
No.
I think I can say that, right? I mean, that's okay to say.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be Seth Rollins. I mean, Seth Rollins right now is the guy that can be a contender,
yeah,
but not yet.
That may disappoint some people.
His time will come.
That may disappoint some people, by the way.
Yeah, I think it will. But no, Seth Rollins, his time will come.
Yeah.
It's just not right now.
All right. Well, let's get to the what could arguably be the hardest part here. And that is predicting this Royal Rumble match. Chris, yeah. It is Wednesday, January the 21st, 2015. Who's winning the Royal Rumble?
Oh, God. It's a toss-up between... I'm torn between Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
Torn between two.
Yep, and I'm going to put the edge to Daniel Bryan.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, as bad as Roman Reigns has been on the mic, I still think that it's going to be Roman Reigns.
I said this last week. I think they will be part of the final four.
Oh, definitely. Not yeah, a question.
Those two and maybe Rusev and hell, maybe even Ambrose.
Perhaps.
That's a stretch, but I see Rusev in there a long time. Just Daniel Bryan.
Just think about it like this. Once Vince McMahon gets his mind on something, and I just want people to remember this. Last year, Batista, he had his heart set on Batista winning the Royal Rumble. He thought, according to CM Punk, he thought Batista versus Randy Orton was going to be the greatest match in WrestleMania history. Now, that's obviously not factually correct.
It was laughable then, and it's still laughable now that he actually thought that that would draw money.
But it just goes to show you the way Vince McMahon thinks now.
Right.
He's got his heart set on Roman Reigns. It's evident. I mean, look, they even modified the Raw intro where it used to be Cena would do his phony military salute at the end of the video. Now yeah. Roman Reigns is the last thing you see. Roman Reigns is the thing that you see most throughout that video. And I know that's just a small thing, but it does play into something. And for that reason, I have to pick Roman Reigns.
Right. I think it's a safe bet to pick one of those two guys, because anybody else in that Philadelphia crowd, they're going to have a few choice awards, I think.
Well, now, do not forget Randy Orton.
Oh.
He's my dark horse candidate to win here because...
Oh, I think forgot about Randy Orton.
Exactly. That's why. No one is thinking about Randy Orton. And for that reason, he could be a guy. They may say, well, you know what? Okay, Reigns, not ready yet. We still think he's the guy, but we need a couple more months to flesh this thing out. Let's go with our old faithful Randy Orton. Now, Randy Orton, when he left, was, you know, turning face. People were enjoying his presence, but you got this Philly crowd, man, and that's a whole other animal.
Right. I mean, even I'm wondering if Randy Orton gets involved in the title match.
That's possible as well.
Because of Seth Rollins, because the authorities anointed Seth Rollins as their face in the future.
Yeah.
Of the WWE. He is their golden boy.
It's very tough to call, but I will say Roman Reigns, I believe, will be the winner. I think they're going to just go with what they think, and I think they think he's the guy. Love him or hate him, I think that's what they think, but do not attempt to forget or sleep on Randy Orton, because very well they may say, well, yep, Reigns is the guy, but he's not the guy at this moment. We still need some more time, and then they put Randy Orton in that slot, not Daniel Bryan. Because, you know, for all the things, he's too small. You know, he's a vegan.
He's a troll. He's a goat face. Whatever.
He doesn't watch television. You know, all these things. He drives a Prius. You know, whatever.
He's a hillbilly.
Whatever you want to say.
But I am intrigued by the possibility of a real David versus Goliath matchup.
Oh, where you have
Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan.
Who the hell isn't? More,
right. You couldn't get more opposite than that.
But, I mean, and here's the thing, though. That Philadelphia crowd, if anybody but Bryan wins that Rumble, they're in trouble. They better have the mics ready to turn those things way down on the crowd. Because if they want to go one way and it's not the Daniel Bryan way, that's the one thing about running this show in the Northeast like that.
Yeah.
You know, That's going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem.
Well, you remember last year when this whole Daniel Bryan thing started, and I remember vividly the Royal Rumble, and everybody was clamoring for him to get any spot in the Rumble match.
Any spot.
And it did not happen. Any spot. And then number 30 comes down and is Rey Mysterio. Oh, they let that poor guy have it.
They sure did.
Oh, that poor guy. He was just, oh gosh. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. They were not having that match at all.
If they do not want him to win, they better find a damn good excuse that he, you know, injured the damn guy or something. Something right. to where people might, although people, knowing Philly, they probably won't even buy that. They'd be like, oh, it's bullcrap. No. He's not really injured. He's not really injured. You know, some stupid, silly, intricate chant.
Right. Or you get a BS. I'm abbreviating it, but yeah, you'll get a BS chant.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Remember, so, Philly crowd. Keep that.
That's part of the appeal for watching the show. Just remember that. Like, that's going to be fun.
I have seen some shows in the recent past, not WWE shows, and those Philly crowds. And especially down the street at 2300 Arena.
Yeah. It's
very lively. Very lively crowd.
Very lively.
And we all know what I'm talking about with the 2300 Arena. I hope we all know.
I'm sure we all know.
Yeah. It's not rocket science.
So that is the Royal Rumble, everybody. Tune in.
I think that was the hardest prediction show we've had to do.
It is. It's going to make it the most fun to watch. And
it is. It is.
What I say to you people is, if you don't already, follow us on Twitter at PW Informant. I always live tweet all these shows, and that's going to be a fun one to tweet. I have a feeling.
Okay? Oh, it is.
So just tune into that. All right, man, we're already nearly at the hour mark. We still got a few more things plus questions. So let's just barrel right through this. Tough Enough is coming back to the USA Network. They are casting right now. If you, you know, you look it up, you can find it. They are they're casting the next WWE, you know, potential WWE superstar.
Oh, USA got that deal?
USA.
Huh. Call me crazy, but that would have been perfect for the network.
Well, I'm sure it'll be on the network, but...
Yeah, I guess you're right. But that would have been perfect to have an original show like that on the network and not just rehashed a year later.
Well, this is true. But, yeah, it's going to be...
There I go thinking again. Yeah. There I go thinking outside the box. I can't do that.
Yeah. So they're going to be casting people right now. So, you know, seek it out, man. Check it out. And, you know, hey, if you've got what it takes, you might become a WWE superstar. There you go. You can win. All right, Chris, I know you got a couple things on your tab here for some New Japan, some ROH, so let's run right through it real quick.
All right, so last week I had mentioned that New Japan, I know we talked about this before, but Access TV was going to start running New Japan Pro Wrestling shows for 13 weeks.
Right, and you have access and I do not, correct?
I do have access to that, and it is spectacular because this past Friday, their inaugural show, they showcased the main event from Wrestle Kingdom 7. So that was 2 years ago. And just, you thought the match this year was great. It was just like that 2 years ago, where he had Hiroshi Tanahashi defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against the young upstart challenger, Kazuchika Okada.
Right.
And this is when Okada was just coming back into New Japan after a stint in TNA. And I did not know this, but he was actually in TNA for a little while.
Wow.
He was a sidekick for Samoa Joe, where they did this like Green Hornet type of sidekick thing, where it was like Okada or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was and then of course you had your American announce team, which Josh Barnett, he did great.
How was Mauro Ranallo?
Oh, they were both great.
His voice is so unique, man.
It is unique, but it helped add to that that Western feel, because it didn't feel like you were watching just a New Japan Pro Wrestling show. There was that North American feel to it.
How much hot water or tea does that guy got to drink when he's doing that voice?
Oh, gosh, probably more than I can even fathom to think about.
Yeah. Wow.
But they showed that match in its entirety. Of course, they had some commercial breaks because it is on TV, but it was very refreshing to see a pro wrestling match on TV, on, I'll say network TV. It's not network TV, but it's on TV.
Right.
And you got a little bit. And of course, before that show, you had Tanahashi in kind of like a backstage video editing area, giving an interview about the match, talking about who he is and talk about his challenger Okada and where they came from. And again, it was the same thing where Okada won the G1 Climax tournament that year, just like he did this past year, where he beat Carl Anderson in the G1 finals and went on to challenge Tanahashi for the title. That's how deep this rivalry is. Jim Ross was not lying when he said it was like Flair Steamboat, Austin Rock. It goes back. It has a history, and we get to see that.
That's very good. The reviews I've been hearing have been pretty good for the show.
Right, and I think they're doing a back-to-back episodes this Friday night on Access TV.
Oh, very good.
So I will definitely be watching that.
All right, awesome. Well, you can come back and review it again next week.
I will. Hopefully we get some Shinsuke Nakamura matches, but I think we're going to see a lot of good things with this 13-week deal, and hopefully they can expand it to go even further.
Yeah, definitely. But I
agree. That's my New Japan update, and something that I noticed on Twitter a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. over the last couple of days, is the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt of the tag team, the Young Bucks, they've been spearheading this campaign to hashtag Superkick Piracy.
What is that all about?
Basically, what's going on is they know that people are out there trying to torrent all of their shows, all of these promotions. And the problem is with these independent promotions, the promoters get money from people buying the DVDs or the iPay-per-views and merchandise and things like that. And it goes right to the wrestlers. And when people are, you know, acquiring these shows through other means and not buying them, then they got a real problem with that. So they put out the YouTube campaign, and all these wrestlers and everybody's getting behind it. And just to combat piracy, because I know it's been a problem for a long time, and I don't condone it. You know, we don't condone it here on Wrestling Informant, but no. It's something I noticed that, and then they're trying to get this trending. It's hashtag Superkick Piracy.
Yeah, and it really pisses me off is that you see a lot of these people online that, you know, they thump their chest about being, you know, support the indies and check out this DVD and that DVD. And like, they're the guys that are making these 35, 40 minute review videos on YouTube about these DVDs and how great they are. And they're the same people that either aren't buying the DVDs or they're sitting there ripping the DVDs and putting them out there online. It's just BS, man.
Right. I will spend the money. Look, just like I did for the New Japan show, I spent $44.95. I spent $40 for the Ring of Honor show. I will spend money. I will buy the iPay-per-views. House of Hardcore, I bought that on iPay-per-view. I think it was $15. And I buy the merchandise. I go to the indie shows whenever they're in town. I will support these guys because that is their source of income. There's no guaranteed money. They're not getting 5-year deals, you know, from Vince McMahon and Triple H. They're not getting deals from Dixie Carter, you know, to run TV every X number of weeks. Yeah, it's just not happening. They're getting paid by the promoter of the company that they're doing work for that weekend, and that's how they earn their living. They got to support their families too, just like you and I do. We
of course,
you know, go to work every day to support our families. That's what they do. They rely on that.
And this is the same thing. A lot of these people are saying, "Well, you know, I work so hard for my money, I can't afford to see all this stuff." Well, then guess what, buddy? You don't get to watch it. Balance your money better, and support what you really believe in. I mean, Chris, my God. You know how many times I walk in a Guitar Center and say, man, I'd really love to have this new mixing console this other vocal processor. I don't just walk up and take the damn thing out of the store and say, well, I just couldn't afford it. I mean, man, this stuff's getting expensive, but I still got to use it. So, yeah, I'm just going to walk up and take this out of the store and use it. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, look at I had to balance my money, too, when I bought this new board, this Mackie mixer I got. I couldn't go out. I couldn't buy a $300. I couldn't drop $300 on a mixer. So I managed my money and found ways to afford a different one, an alternative.
Hey, that's it.
Yeah, you're not. I know not everybody's going to be able to drop $45 for Wrestle Kingdom 9. I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but that doesn't give you the right to just jump right in and watch it anyway.
It doesn't. If you can't afford it, you don't watch it. Now some people are out there saying, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway." Well, fine. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. But I know for me, it'll make me feel better because they have kids that are my age, younger, older, whatever. They have their wives, kids, and the Young Bucks, their daughters are a little bit younger than mine, but I can relate to it, and I definitely understand.
Well, some of these people will never understand because some people are not in the content delivery business. I mean, we are in the content delivery business, and if we charge for this stuff, I know I'd be pretty pissed off if people were putting it out there.
Right, if they were putting the MP3s on other sites or whatever, but yeah, no, I definitely understand from all those positions of being a content provider like we are and a family man.
Yeah.
That it bothers me.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Anything else before we close out with listener questions? You got anything else for us?
All right. Yeah. Ring of Honor's got they do have a show coming up, the 13th anniversary show from Vegas. And the main event has been set. It is set in stone. The problem was with the main event was Nigel McGuinness, who makes the matches. He's the matchmaker for Ring of Honor. He needed a number one contender. And originally the number one contender match was going to be Michael Elgin versus Hansen. But Tommaso Ciampa got into the mix. He had a problem with not being in the picture because he's claimed to have beaten Michael Elgin several times. And even when Michael Elgin was Ring of Honor World Champion, he pinned him. And so he wanted to be in the title picture. And so Michael Elgin, Tommaso Ciampa, and Hansen had a three-way match on Ring of Honor to determine a number one contender. But that match ended in a draw when the referee got knocked out.
Yeah.
So there was no number one contender named. But then Jay Briscoe confronted Nigel McGuinness last week on Ring of Honor TV and said, "You know what? Let's go all in. I'll take them all on. I will challenge them all. And you think about that." So he offered a four-way match for the Ring of Honor World title, and that's what it is. We have a high-stakes four-corner survival match for the Ring of Honor World title. Jay Briscoe defending against Michael Elgin, Tommaso Ciampa, and Hansen.
All right.
Well, that is the only match that has been set right now, and I know we're going to get more. And also, this weekend, Alberto El Patron makes his in-ring match debut against Christopher Daniels.
I got to say this real quick, because I know we're just now over the hour, but I saw the segment of Del Rio. This is before my DVR cut off, because every damn week they cannot figure this out.
I don't understand that, because here they record there's two showings, and I'm surprised they don't do that there, to where I get the one showing that's cut off on Saturday, but then Sunday afternoon at lunch at midday, I get the entire show.
I never get the entire show. So, because this wasn't near the end, I did get to see the Del Rio interview segment, and my God, man, that crowd gave him a hero's welcome. He seemed like he was so fired up to be there, and you could just tell. I mean, he had more personality here than he's had in the entire, 4 or 5 years he was on WWE TV.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
they had to clean up his promo because it was honest.
Yeah, I mean it's.
He was sick and tired of he was sick and tired of being an effing sports entertainer. He's like, "I am an effing wrestler."
Yeah,
they had to leap a lot. They had to cut a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Even at the House of Hardcore show, it was the same thing. He was even more honest and more candid and more explicit at that show.
Yeah,
at the House of Hardcore, I think it was House of Hardcore 7 in Philly at the ECW Arena. Yeah, he was there, and it was the same. It was more the same. It was his personality, almost like his real personality dialed up a notch.
Yeah.
Instead of just this sports entertainment crap that we have to deal with every week.
Exactly. All right. Let's get to these questions real quick. Okay. Let's see if we can barrel through them. Every week we say we're going to be an hour or less, and then now we're just seeming to get longer and longer. So I apologize for people that like a nice hour-long podcast, because I know that I like a nice hour-long podcast, so, or less.
I like to get that nice, clean hour and just be done with it, but... this happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, some of these we can kind of get through fairly quickly. Patrick wants to know, is the bunny gimmick officially dead? Well, God willing, hopefully. Do you think the bunny gimmick is dead?
I want it to be.
Okay. I have not seen him in a while, so maybe.
I haven't either. Maybe he'll make an appearance at the Royal Rumble kickoff show.
Or maybe he'll be in the Royal Rumble, the Waste and Intro him.
Yeah.
Imagine if he's number 30.
Yeah. Bring back the gobbledygooker while you're at it, too. Jesus.
Ugh. So, yeah, there you go. Mr. V-Dog, he likes to send us some questions. We do appreciate it. He wants to know, was Monday a turning point for Brock? He senses that the live crowd will cheer him and boo anyone who beats him except for Daniel Bryan. Well, it could be a turning point. It could be a swerve of some kind. It's hard really to say, Mr. V, if that is your real name. It's hard to say. Honestly, I think that maybe they are trying to move in that direction, but maybe it could just be some silly swerve. I think there could be money in a babyface Brock Lesnar against the right heel, now, whether that's Seth Rollins or whoever. I mean, they don't really have a mega badass heel with the exception of Rusev, but I think Rusev is going to go fight John Cena. So
at right, that point, yeah,
you don't have a whole lot of options.
Yeah, they're saving him for somebody, and I'd have more money in a monster heel Brock Lesnar than a babyface at this point.
Yeah, but a babyface Brock Lesnar could be cool, though.
It could be cool, but I'm enjoying seeing this monster badass Brock Lesnar even more.
All right, fair enough. Paul Burke, our friend, Burke, who donated. Real quick, by the way, WrestlingInformant.com/Patreon. There are some very generous, kind people like Paul Burke at PaulBurke01 on Twitter, or our friend Jeremy Rhodes at Crossroads Barbecue. There's a couple nice guys who have, Chris, donated each $20 to our Patreon page. WrestlingInformant.com/Patreon. I mean, really, I'm so humbled by the kindness of people, Chris. If people like what we do, Patreon is a way to show it, and these guys have stepped up so huge, and we are so thankful for that. I mean, really, thank you guys so much.
Absolutely, and it proves that there are some good people out there that are willing to show these acts. It's an act of kindness. That's exactly what this is, and it just shows that there are still some good people out there, and people like Paul Burke and our buddy Jeremy.
Yeah, we do appreciate that.
Believe in us, right? That they believe in us. That they do. That shows that they're putting their money on us and all their faith in us to deliver awesome content on a weekly basis.
Exactly. So that just goes to show for everybody else, if you like what we do, if you want to say thank you, it starts as low as a dollar. It's WrestlingInformant.com/Patreon, PATREON. And it's kind of like Kickstarter, but it's like a monthly kind of deal. And it's just a nice way to, say thank you. And you hear what we do now, what kind of show we put out now. Imagine what we could do on a budget funded by you, the listener. Imagine the equipment we could buy to make this show sound even 100 times better. Maybe adding a video element down the line. There's just so many cool things we could do.
A lot of options.
So anyway, back to the questions. So thank you, Paul, and thank you, Jeremy, of course, as well. We do appreciate that, your donations to our show. We do appreciate it. So Paul wants to know, do you guys think that if Rollins isn't champion, they would maybe let him face Sting at WrestleMania instead of Triple H? I think that Rollins and Sting would be a great match. It's something nice for Rollins to do. He kept talking about Sting while Sting was gone and while the Authority was gone. Certainly the direction they're going right now, I think it's almost a lock, Chris, that we're going to see Triple H and Sting. I think that's just in stone. But there's also, a Rollins-Sting match. If Triple H doesn't do it, that's the next match that makes sense.
And right, it does.
You could certainly do it.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, at this point, we're going to see, it's looking that way. I mean, the way it's being built ever since Survivor Series, that it's going to be Sting and Triple H.
Exactly.
And Sting's even come out and said that he wanted to work with Triple H even before he stepped foot in a ring. He said on many occasions, aside from The Undertaker, which we all know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, and thankfully so, it's not going to happen. He's always said he wanted to work with Triple H.
Definitely.
And it works in this situation. It makes sense because he's been the thorn in Triple H's side for months.
Yeah, I think they're going to pay that off at WrestleMania. But, hey, like I said, If they have something else for Triple H that makes sense, you know, like they tease that thing with The Rock, which I think is highly unlikely, but they could do that. Certainly, I would love to see Rollins and Sting go at it. I think it'd be a nice young guy for Sting to go up against. He could, you know, create some movement in the ring, make Sting look really good.
Yeah.
Have a nice match. Now, Paul also wants to know, do you think WWE will ever consider hosting WrestleMania in another country? Technically, they've done this before, but of course in Canada, which
that
you
is
know,
another country.
Well, Paul's in the United Kingdom, so to him, you know, okay. I mean, you know, Canada
outside of maybe he's thinking outside of North America.
Correct. That's exactly what I was gonna say. So
okay.
It's possible. I mean, you know, Mexico maybe. United Kingdom, that's a 5-hour difference. I think the reason why they would hesitate doing, you know, their biggest event of the year is simply for that reason. It's a time change. Now, if you're talking about 5 hours ahead, if they did it at 8, that would be, what, 3 o'clock in the afternoon here. So you're talking about having to do like an early afternoon show, then it'd be like 12 p.m. in the West Coast, and their sweet spot is Sunday night in the prime time. Now, could they do it? Yes, they could absolutely do it. I mean, they have the WWE Network now. This is very possible. It's more possible than ever. And as long as it was in the United Kingdom, somewhere probably around London or something to that effect.
It would have to be London.
To get that five-hour time zone, yeah.
Yeah, what is it? The O2 Arena is their biggest one?
No, they have Wembley Stadium. Where
the outdoor. Oh, the outdoor stadium, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to do it indoor.
No, if they want to do an indoor event, yeah, they'd be the O2. But yeah, outdoor Wembley Stadium, definitely, just like they did SummerSlam 92.
They could do the Hall of Fame and the Raw at the O2.
Ah, there you go. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm sure they've thought about it, but I just don't think they're ready to pull the trigger on that yet. But that would be huge. And I really believe that they could pull it off. You know, if they did it at 7 o'clock. Or eight o'clock rather in the United Kingdom local time there, and did it 3 o'clock here in the East and 12 in the West. I think that wrestling fans, no matter what, are going to get to that time where it's on. They're going to watch it at the time it's on. But of course, we're in an on-demand world. I mean, not everybody has to watch it live, but I still think that if you did it at that 7 o'clock hour, you're still respecting, you know, a decent time of the day. And I think people would find it one way or the other, Chris.
Right. Well, that was the situation where I talked about earlier, Wrestle Kingdom. That was the same situation with Wrestle Kingdom, was the major time difference.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't as small as, you know, like from here to London, but I mean, it was like a 15-hour time difference. And so that was a bit of a challenge, but people like me found a way to watch it live.
Yeah.
And they also replayed it. But yeah, it was that same kind of thing. It's the time zone difference that's killer, because they do have that sweet spot, like you said.
Yeah, but they could. I mean, if they really wanted to make it work, they could.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
that's on them. Our buddy Jimmy Vaselis, he wants to know, if Roman Reigns is the next John Cena, where does that leave Cena? Well, Cena, I think, will still have a role on top, but I think he's probably still going to be the top guy for another probably 2 to 3 years. I would think maybe 3 to 5, but I'm 2 to 3 for sure.
I'd say 5 at the absolute most.
Right. While they get Roman Reigns kind of in a 1A, kind of, you know, on track with John Cena, I think that's the way to go. So probably, I'm going to say 2 to 3 years, but probably 3 to 5 max. And then John Cena is going to be phased out. So, but until then, as far as your question, until then, they're going to be probably equals, or for right now, John Cena just a peg above.
Yeah.
And then he also asks, since Sting appeared on Raw, do you think he will appear on Sunday? I say yes.
Oh, that's a definite.
I don't think it's Royal Rumble match necessarily, but it could be.
Title match? Maybe title match to screw with Seth Rollins?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Maybe. That's definitely.
Or if Triple H gets involved in that match, then we see Sting.
Yeah.
I think that may be the more likely thing. We may not see Sting just by himself going after Seth Rollins, but if Triple H gets involved on behalf of Seth Rollins, then yeah, we may see Sting there. I don't think we see him in the Rumble match per se.
I don't think they want to waste that.
No, we will not see him around distracting the Rumble match. I don't think we will see him in the Rumble match. If anything, we'll see him maybe influence something with the title match, but not influence in a bad way, and influence in a good way.
Yeah, very good. Mark wants to know, In Battle Royals, why does anyone try to save someone from elimination? This also happens in Fatal 4-Way matches and the like. I think it's just low wrestling IQ, perhaps. Maybe they're just not intelligent enough to know not to save them when they don't, you know, when they don't have to. Like, we're talking about elimination here. So, you know, it's not like when, you know, that pinfall or elimination occurs that the match is over. You still have to eliminate the other people, the other parties involved. I think it's just silly. It's just people not paying attention. Honestly. Yeah,
we got all those bodies in there trying to figure out how to work that type of match.
Yeah.
You're going to forget stuff.
Well, I mean these guys are professionals, damn it. They should
know.
I know they are.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I mean, you've heard guys like when they're the TLC matches, like when the Dudleys and Edge and Christian and the Hardys, they plan that match move for move for move for move.
And it could be also, Chris, that maybe they're, I mean, I'm sure this is not what he's referring to, but, you know, if you got two guys that are kind of on the same side in the match, they may want to save their buddy. And then if it comes down to the two of them, then, you know, it's on. But yeah, it's just, I think it's just silly ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
And then he also wants to know what is the difference between a hardcore match, a street fight, and no DQ? Well, I think he's testing to see how much of nerds we are.
Right.
Because if you break it down, a hardcore match traditionally is when you have weapons, you know, under the ring. Well, I'm thinking almost like in a video game sense. Hardcore match, you got your weapons.
Yep, you got your trash can lids, you got your kendo sticks, you got your chairs.
Street fight is kind of like false count anywhere, and in the old days, sometimes they used to actually take it on the streets, which I wish they would do.
You'd have the guys wearing the jeans. Guys would be wearing jeans and a t-shirt to a street fight. They wouldn't be wearing wrestling gear.
Yeah, and
that's traditionally what you saw. They would be in street clothes, basically, and they would consist of a white t-shirt and jeans, basically.
Back in the day, they'd go on the streets of the city and fight.
Yeah. They'd be in just jeans and no shirt on and just duking it out there.
I remember, I think it was like Ahmed Johnson and Farouk. I think he Pearl River plunged Farouk through a damn car in the middle of New York City on Saturday Night, I think it was.
Right. You remember WrestleMania where it was like Gold Dust and Roddy Piper in that.
Backlot Brawl.
Yeah, the Hollywood Backlot Brawl.
But I'm even just talking about they start in the ring and then they work their way, you know, in the concessions, the audience, and then they go outside. Nobody really goes outside anymore, but they should.
That's rare. I'm trying to think. What was the last time? What was it? Edge and John Cena? Or John Cena threw Edge into the Long Island Sound?
Well, there may be other ones that we're just not
thinking. That's the one I remember.
Probably just some throwaway stuff on Raw. You know, one of these random matches that just, you know.
Or it could be a throwaway match on SmackDown, too, and nobody would have seen it.
That's a good point. All right. Finally here, Scott wants to know, wow, this is kind of a big question here. Best wrestler to never hold the World Heavyweight Championship. And by the way, I should preface the reason why I say it's a big question, because we don't screen these questions ahead of time. We just, you know, we try to get to everybody. So we just read them off right here. I mean, man, we'd almost have to think about that for a while. The best wrestler to never hold the world title.
All time?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I don't think he means like literally like, you know, the SmackDown World Heavyweight Champion thing. I think he's talking about just like the world title period.
Oh, gosh, one guy that I think comes to mind, Magnum TA.
Magnum TA. I would say Curt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
That's another one.
He would have been WWE champion, yeah, or world champion.
Magnum TA was the United States champion for a long time, and he was white hot and he had a good run, but then he had that accident and it almost killed him.
Yeah.
And he never wrestled again. It was done. That ended him. And it's a shame that we never got to see a heavyweight title. Even Flair has said it. Magnum TA would have been one of the greatest world champions of all time.
Yeah. So you got Magnum TA, you got Curt Hennig. Anybody else?
Oh, man. Curt Hennig was a good one. I'm trying to think. Steamboat won the title. He was world champion. He was NWA world champion. Man, I think everybody else that we think of has been a world champion.
Gotta be. I'll reverse it to you, Scott. Who do you think is the best wrestler to never hold the World Heavyweight Championship? There you go.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Throw it back on you, Mr. Scott. You can tweet us. Just reply back to your or reply to us and let us know.
Yeah, I'd like to know. And there was actually one more question that came through. It was from Glenn Rodriguez.
Okay.
Who wants to know, what would you have done differently for the invasion angle?
Oh, geez. So, how much time you got there, buddy?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, because I've actually watched that on the WWE Network, and that was Invasion. That was 2000, 2001, right after they bought WCW. And, gosh, there's a lot of things they did. They could have done the entire thing differently, because that was just bad from start to finish.
Well, I think the part of the issue is the contracts, the Time Warner contracts, because I, you know, you talk about seeing the Monday Night War. I watched that. That yep. was that was a pretty good special there at the end. So, with that being said, you know, that's one of the things they talked about was the all these contracts. You know, like Goldberg, Sting. Right. Well, Sting didn't want to come over anyway. But no, Goldberg, Nash, Hogan, Hall, all these guys.
Right. They had their guaranteed money for working their limited schedule, and they, you know, WWE got burned by them because yeah. they left them. So there was some sour grapes there, and then you had the mid-card guys that they kind of brought in, and then the low-end guys just kind of shuffled them away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you brought in, like, your Chavo Guerreros and Billy, you know, Kidman, Mysterio eventually. But I don't think he was in the invasion angle. He wasn't in the invasion angle. But now they got a lot of mid-card guys. And then you had Booker T, which he was the champion at the time. But you weren't going to bring in Steiner. That was not going to happen for a while. So it was just a lot. It was Ted Turner money that I think hurt him.
Yeah, if you had Goldberg, Sting, Hogan, Hall, Nash, all these guys coming over with them, you would have had something hot there. It was somebody on the documentary. I want to give them the proper credit, but I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. Was saying, like, when they had the invasion angle, you're basically getting the best guys from WCW Thunder, you know, coming over. That right. was your invasion,
right? Because they didn't want to take, you know, have somebody come in and take the Undertaker spot or Stone Cold or The Rock or Triple H or Mankind. I mean, you already had your top guys at the time.
Yeah.
So there was no way in hell that we were going to bring in Goldberg, Nash, Hall, Hogan, Flair.
Well, if the contracts weren't in place, I think they would have. I think they would have paid that money.
Right.
But
right. But then you would have had a problem. I think it would have been bad for the locker room. Well, it would have been bad.
It was already bad when you're talking about when they came in anyway.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, the underlings. It was bad. It was bad, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of things that could have been done differently with the invasion angle, but it played out the way it did and it stunk.
Yeah.
That's it.
It did stink.
It was bad.
So with that, we're gonna wrap up the show. God damn, an hour and 23 minutes, Chris.
Almost an hour and a half show. How my about that?
God. Whew. These people are probably like, end this thing already.
Yeah, probably like, stop it.
All right. So one final plug, wrestlinginformer.com/Patreon. If you like what we do, if you want to be really cool, like, Paul and Jeremy and help out the show, even in a small way, $1 a month, even, I mean, you know, anything you can do to help us, you know, would be greatly appreciated. It's just a way of, if you listen to the show every week, if you like what we do, you know, this is just one way to help out if you can. If not, still listen to the show. We appreciate you anyway, of course. We appreciate everyone. And also, if you're on the iTunes deal, we want to thank everybody that sent us reviews in. If you haven't yet, submit your review. And you know, we like 5 stars, of course. But submit your review. And, you know, it helps us in the rankings, helps us get out there even more. So anything you can do to help out that cause right there would be greatly appreciated. That's all I got. Chris, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Chris McManamy.
I am at Gary Cantrell, and we'll see you guys next week after the Royal Rumble. I imagine we're going to have a lot to discuss.
Oh, yeah, we will. Be another hour and a half show.
Probably will.
Probably.
All right, guys. See you next week. Thanks.
See ya.